When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of DC Stand'em is presented by DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. Outright Games and Warner Brothers are calling DC fans of all ages to unite against chaos in the all-new open-world action-adventure game DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. Designed to be fun for the whole family, you can play as Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman to battle the mischievous Mr. Mixius Pidalic, who has summoned Starro the Conqueror and other supervillains to keep the Justice League busy while he becomes the new self-appointed mayor of Happy Harbor. There's more DC heroes in this one too. Players can also interact with other Justice League members like Green Lantern, Cyborg, The Flash, and Aquaman, who all make cameos throughout the game. You can enjoy DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos with friends and family in two-player instant action couch co-op to engage with the exciting and hilarious gameplay. Justice League Cosmic Chaos is available to play now on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, Xbox XS, and Steam. For more information, head to OutrightGames.com and follow Outright Games on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok for all the latest updates and information on Justice League Cosmic Chaos. What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Stand'em, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cecchini, the editor-in-chief of DenGeek.com, and each week I bring you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics to the movies and TV that make up the DCU. It's kind of a surprise episode for you tonight because I was going to bring you Superman and Lois showrunners Todd Helbing and Brent Fletcher to talk about the first two episodes of Season 3, spoilers and all, and you're still going to get that episode, but you're going to get it tomorrow because at the last minute, I was able to get Lois Lane herself, Elizabeth Tulloch, on the phone to talk about the big emotional revelations from this week's episode. Now, big spoilers are ahead. So if you haven't watched episode 2 yet, you might not want to listen to this one, but be sure that you do. This is a really illuminating interview from probably the best screen Lois Lane of all time, embarking on a unique and powerful journey for this character. So what struck me was the obvious and necessary change in tone between episode one and episode two. Episode one is such a playful episode for most of its runtime, especially with, you know, with Lois and Clark, and then things switch gears. What I want to know, though, is, when did you know that this is what Lois's story was going to be, kind of, you know, the through line of Lois's story this season? Or did you find out when you were reading the script for the first time and you're like, oh, it's great, it's a pregnancy story. And then it's like, no, wait, no, it's not.
No, you know, Todd and Brent made sure, to their great credit, that I was comfortable with this storyline. I think it was their idea and they had pitched it to the studio and everybody loved it. And then they called me and they said, this is what we're thinking for Lois. And we know it's incredibly intense and it's going to be emotional. And how do you feel about this? And I thought it was great. I thought, what a cool idea to make one of the primary villains for season three be a villain that millions and millions of people around the world can relate to or have been affected by themselves or someone that they love. And not only that, but a villain that Superman can't just easily take out. There's no easy fix to this. It's a very human problem that she's having. And then, you know, it was a little bit daunting too, because the kind of breast cancer Todd and Brent had written for Lois to get is called inflammatory breast cancer, and it's extremely aggressive. It's not even detectable until it's stage three. So it's an advanced and aggressive kind of breast cancer. So they were really going for it, but I was exciting. It was a challenge like I knew it would be. And I was also pleased that they felt that they trusted me enough with something this serious.
They said they did a lot of research on the topic, and so did the writing team and everybody else. So how did you prepare for this?
I did a ton of research. I spoke to the CDC like they did, and I had also spoken to, there's a double breast cancer survivor that I knew that Todd and Brent and I think some of the other writers had consulted with. But then what was really invaluable to me was a friend of mine who's a director and a producer had had breast cancer, and she set me up with her breast cancer surgeon, Dr. Christy Funk. And Dr. Funk is really well known. She was Sheryl Crow's doctor. She did Angelina Jolie's double mastectomy. She's incredibly wonderful and smart. And I had some long conversations with her specifically about inflammatory breast cancer, because it is really rare and it's so aggressive. And I wanted to make sure I was getting that specific journey right, because there are a lot of different kinds of breast cancers, and some of them are much more easily treatable than the one that Lois had. And then Dr. Funk introduced me to IBC survivors. And actually, the first time I talked to her, one of the first things she said was, you know, Bitsy, I can't express enough how dangerous the kind of cancer they're giving Lois is. The last two women I had who had IBC lost their lives to it. So, you know, it's a really aggressive kind of cancer. But she set me up with a woman named Diana Franklin, who was amazing, who's an IBC survivor, and her attitude towards it was basically what I tried to infuse in my performance, because Diana basically was so sick when it was detected that Dr. Funk thought, you know, this woman is probably not going to make it. But Diana instead walked into her office and apparently had stayed up overnight doing a ton of research, and you know, walked into the office with a 3-ring binder and was like, not only am I going to beat this, but you and I are going to be friends. And anything you tell me to do, I'm going to do 110%. And she did. And she completely beat it. And no evidence of disease for years now. And so I spoke to Diana, and just her attitude, I was thinking, okay, this is sort of how Lois's attitude would be. And then another woman that Dr. Funk had introduced me to, who is a big tech executive, single mom, works really hard. She didn't have IBC, but she had a similarly aggressive kind of cancer. And she, you know, just kind of learning from all these women's stories. And I ended up interviewing about 11 different breast cancer survivors before it got to the point where I almost had to force myself to stop, because I was getting, it was weighing me down a lot. You know, it's impossible not to take on some of that emotional weight, because, you know, every conversation I was having was really emotional and inspiring, but also emotional. And there's a woman named Tiffany who I spoke to, who she was diagnosed young. I think she was either 30 or 32 when she was diagnosed. She had had 3 kids and she was breastfeeding her third, who was 5 months old at the time, and found a lump. And just some of the stories she was telling me about being a young mom with young kids and having to go through chemo. And she was saying there were points towards the end of her chemotherapy when she was literally having to crawl up the stairs on her arms to get her kids into bed because she was so weak. But that's what she was doing, because she was a mom, and she was, you know, damned if she wasn't going to do her best. And it was inspiring, but it was a lot of double, triple checking to make sure that on all our parts, to make sure that we were getting Lois's journey as realistic as we possibly could within the confines of being a television show.
this is, that's a lot. And I could kind of hear you getting emotional as you were recounting these stories. And the most emotional moment of episode two, and I mean, potentially of the entire series so far that I've seen, comes on that rooftop when Lois is talking the judge down. Which is a wonderful Lois Lane moment, just like in a vacuum anyway. But then, you know, you and Tyler have this, you know, intense wordless moment after. So what can you tell me about filming that scene? Because, you know, it's tremendous.
There was something about that scene on some level that was easy, because even just putting yourself in that scenario, you know, we were shooting on top of the Vancouver Art Gallery, and the actress herself wasn't rigged up there. Her stunt person was, but it's not like we were filming that scene on green screen. So it's easier to sort of, as an actor, put yourself in that situation. Like, wow, there is actually a human being on a ledge right now, and this is dangerous. So just really, you know, imagining this is what's going on, and what would I say? What would Lois say to someone to get them to reconsider someone who is so desperate that they're feeling like they need to take their own life? And it is difficult when we have days, which this episode in particular had so many of, that are so emotional, sustaining that level of emotion. But that's, you know, on some level, that's my job. Part of what was difficult is that Tyler wasn't in for a lot of it. He, you know, because the scene between me and the judge took so much of the day, and then he came in at the end, but I just was imagining him there. You know, it would be like, hey, so Bitsy, look at the building behind you, to your left, that's going to be Superman. And I would just have to visually place him there. And, you know, I haven't seen the episode, but they would say, like, basically he's going to be hovering there and you guys are going to make eye contact. And this is the first he has heard that you're so sick. And then, of course, when I did actually have Tyler there in person, that adds a whole other layer of emotional complexity and everything. But yeah, that was an emotional day for everyone. And I think part of what's so great about film is how collaborative it is. And on days like that, I have to give a lot of props to the crew, because they're always, you know, extra quiet. Everybody's really respectful. Everybody wants, you know, the actors to get the best performances that they can. And it just feels like a very collaborative endeavor.
And speaking of collaboration, you know, you have a new member of the family with Michael Bishop as Jonathan, who really has gotten thrown in the deep end with this story being his, you know, his first go around as a Kent, right? So, you know, what's it been like working with him? Because one of the strengths of this show has always been just how natural that family dynamic has always felt with you and Tyler and the boys and everything. So, and I know you seem to really, you know, relish working with them. So I'm curious what it was like, you know, kind of adjusting to a new quote unquote son on set.
I think it was awkward for less than a day. And I think everybody just, and I really want to give Michael Bishop props, because that's a strange situation to sort of be thrown into. And not only that, but the casting happened pretty late, pretty close to when we started filming season three. And what happened to Michael is Tyler and I were doing chemistry reads with a handful of the finalists for the Jonathan Kent role. And Michael had flown in from Australia, and they basically, he had a return ticket to Australia, and they said, you know, don't get on the airplane, you're getting this role. And I'm not kidding, this is how fast it was. I think we were doing chemistry reads on a Friday and we were filming by that Tuesday.
Wow.
It was so fast. And, you know, for a young actor just be kind of thrown into this and also be taking the place of someone else, he was brave and he was awesome. And we all settled into it really quickly. And I want to say too, Michael's mother had had breast cancer and was diagnosed around the same age Jonathan Kent would have found out that Lois had breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And Billy was able to access all of those emotions. And we would talk about it, and he would tell me how incredibly brave his mother was and how inspired he was by his mom. And so that was something that he was able to really use emotionally. And it was just one of these things that I was just saying in my last interview. I mean, when we would have day players on set, or, you know, there was a C camera operator. Sometimes we have three camera operator days, who said that he had had colon cancer. Like, cancer is really something that is so prevalent that if it hasn't touched you, it's probably touched someone you love, either a friend or a family member. And everybody just has these intense stories about it. And I had done so much research, and I had spoken to so many women myself who had been through this, and it was an intense season. And I'm glad that the writers were so committed to getting it right, and to, you know, again, like I said, within the confines of a television show, being as realistic as possible.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time. I know this was quite a season for you, and I hope to see it with a Superman and Lois season 4 renewal as well. So always great talking to you. And that is it for this week's DC Stand-Em. Come back tomorrow, and I mean it, tomorrow, we'll have more on Superman and Lois season 3 with Todd Helbing and Brent Fletcher. So we have more cool spoiler details from the showrunners. Head over to denigeek.com/DC for all our Superman and Lois coverage and much more. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at DC Stand-Em. This has been DC Stand-Em on the Denny Geek Network. Remember, folks, we stand together.